Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. We are starting. The red light is on. My friend for conversation today is Carly Treloar, who is an occupational therapist and has a very, very wonderful growing business, Living Without Boundaries, which is just on the edge of Melbourne. Welcome, Carly.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. How are you?
So, yeah, I am well. I am well. And we are recording this in Melbourne lockdown. What are we up to? Is this the stage four, lockdown 3.0?
Yeah, it is stage four. Yep.
So let's wind it back to what your business looked like, I don't know, a couple of years ago. It's kind of new, kind of early. Can you remember back that far?
Yeah, I can actually. No, absolutely. No, that was a big time. That was a good transition. Actually, I'm in our third year now of Living Without Boundaries as an occupational therapy practice. It used to be Freedom to Move, which was soft tissue therapies, because that's where my background was. Oh,
that's right.
Yeah. So it began in, you know, clinical myotherapy, remedial therapies, everything to do with the musculoskeletal system. And then I went back to university as a mature age student to study OT. And yeah, so the transition was happening about a couple of years ago, and it was a massive transition because, you know, I was familiar with the soft tissue side of things in private practice, but OT is, there's a lot more to it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was that first transition year like for you?
A lot of learning. I had very basic systems in place. It was very paper-based. It was... I didn't have any policies and procedures in there at all. And I actually realized just how much those things were important. And that's when I actually started building on the business side of things as well as the clinical. I already knew how to do the clinical, but the business was, yeah, that's when it started to grow.
Yeah, yeah. And if I recall, you were working, well, you still work incredibly long hours, but you kind of had this double, you had three businesses going, plus life. You had your myo going, you had OT going, you had the business stuff happening after dark, like the invoicing and the scheduling and the, you know, all that stuff you need wine for. And then you had kind of family as well. How did you kind of filter through that and get it all done?
I think when I look back, I don't know. I'm looking at it now.
I don't know why either. That's why I'm asking.
I was doing admin. I was taking phone calls. I was available 24/7 around the clock. And I think, like anything, if you're always doing it, you just become accustomed to it and that's your life.
Yeah.
So now that I look back, I wasn't as productive as I probably would have liked to be. But you know what? It got the job done. And I always thought that, you know, I can do this. I don't need anyone else to help me at the time. So, yeah, I was wrong. I love having people help me now. Yeah.
You're a bit of a failure's not an option girl, aren't you?
Yes. I'm okay with failure, but there needs to be something on the other side very quickly to move out of that failure.
Getting things like Clinico in place was a bit of a game changer.
Yeah, so I'd started to dabble with Clinico as a booking system only, just to take my bookings when it was freedom to move. And I really didn't make use of all of the functions in it at all. I just took the bookings, lodged the payments. I didn't even take payments and run them through it. I still did that manually. And then I realised that there were so many different other functions to Clinico that I could start automating things. And, you know, your SMS that goes out that gives people reminders. I used to do that manually at nighttime. I'd be sitting on my couch texting them out and everyone would reply, and all of a sudden you've got all these conversations happening just to give them an SMS reminder.
Just all going, you want to do is watch MasterChef. All you want to do is just watch a bit of telly. But no.
Yeah. No. It was a big change when I started using all the functions on it, and I still to date haven't used all the functions on it. So
So we're sort of, you know, we're Melbourne and we can certainly not say we're post-pandemic, but you know, Clinico has played a massive role in your time use this year. What are some of the features that you've absolutely jumped into and dialed up?
The features, okay, well, the booking reminders and confirmations is really good because people just know what's happening and when. The ability to be able to have, now we've got a few of us on the system, so everything is colour-coded. Everything is in its own columns. The item numbers and codes, everything that's input into the system for NDIS, we don't have to worry because it's there. And the invoicing is spot on. It just covers everything we need, and it doesn't give us twice as much work to follow up payments because there's no questions on it. Everything's there. Also, we've started using the telehealth component that they've got as well. It's a bit of a combination because I think it's still in its early days, but you know what? It's proving to be very useful when Zoom doesn't work, and then the Clinico one, chips in very quickly.
So and forms and templates, and you're having a really good play with a lot of it.
I am. The templates, I think I could use them a little bit more. I actually need to sit down and spend some time refining those things. I'm still in that, so I'm still having trouble letting go of what I've already got.
Really? Should we talk about this?
No, not now.
Delegation work? Fine. Yeah. It's all right. No one's listening. It's just us. Delegation's hard though. It's not easy.
No, because we're constantly refining it. Every time there's a change, especially this year, every time there's change, we have to go back into the systems and change everything so it works.
But this year, compared to this time last year, you have team to delegate to. Who's under the Living Without Boundaries, you know, banner at the moment?
So we're a small little business and a small business that does a lot. We do an awful lot for a small
big impact.
Practice. Absolutely. There's myself. So I both work clinically and also manage like business on the business as well. There's reception. So we've got Belinda. She's working towards more practice management now. So we've really upped the ante and given her a lot more things in her learning basket. So that's happening very fast. Looking forward to possibly having another reception a little bit later down the track. We have Chloe. Now, Chloe's our other OT. She's not only an OT, she is a secondary teacher who and also a pianist. So her skills are very different from mine and has proven to be quite beneficial to a lot of the clients that are musically interested and invested. We have Veronica Passmore. Everyone calls her Wonky. She's a provisional psychologist and an art psychotherapist. And we've also got Ambika, who has taken a bit of a pause at the moment. She's a meditation practitioner. So she's having a little bit of a pause while we're all in these stages, but she's still accessible online. Yeah, so that's us at the moment, and that's so enough.
Exciting.
Yeah.
So let's revisit the delegation piece, because you know, any opportunity, I like to talk about delegation. What I think the pandemic, the COVID-19, has just really rattled people's workflow, and business owners have realized that they really can't do it all under pandemic conditions, where speed and decision and energy are just absolute your critical drivers. Yeah. So what have you been learning to delegate out to Belinda, who is in a new role in the business?
Yeah, so Belinda, any call that comes through to me goes back to Belinda. All calls go to Belinda.
Fighting words.
And unless it's specifically, I really need to speak to Carly because this is to do with Carly, it's like, okay. But no, everything gets forwarded on all emails, all remittance and payment inquiries or challenges or chasing up invoices and payments, those things, they're all in Belinda's basket. Bookings, rescheduling. We've had to go through a massive reschedule of people being, you know, part face-to-face to telehealth back to full. We are now full telehealth at the moment purely because it's just the safety requirements in our kind of business and what we do. Yeah, it's very important. Yeah,
the risk.
Yeah, it is.
The practicalities of telehealth outweigh the risk of face-to-face.
Yeah.
But you've done a ton of analysis around that. You've done so much thinking and analysis around that.
Yes.
All right. And what else is being delegated?
What's been delegated? Oh, she looks after the practice and the opening and closing of the practice. Mm. I don't actually have to open and close the business when we're actually in there. Belinda, because we are small, Belinda does a lot of the cleaning schedules and routines now as well. She sends out confirmations, sends them out if somebody doesn't miss it. She answers the phone, she answers any questions, she forwards any of the information that I have developed in relation to explaining to people what the changes are. So she's relaying all of that. And she also is a fantastic help for Chloe in the clinic, because Chloe's main focus is the client, working with the individuals and the families. Belinda looks after managing the in, the out of people and all of those things. So there's so much more. I'm trying to think, okay.
It's okay. That'll sound good.
We're transferring admin. So that's everything from NDIA payments, service agreements, those sorts of things. They're in the process at the moment of being handled.
Oh, that's a game changer.
Yeah.
You won't know yourself with that off your page as well.
That'd be nice.
So, yeah. So a growing team. What does your team do really, really well?
What do we do well? The client person. I mean, we're person family centered practice, but we're the liaison, the discussions, the connecting with our clients and remaining client focused. I think that's one of our strong points. I'm very mindful that we do not wish to lose that element of how we run practice as we grow. So I think we do that really well. Our communication is really good between us. We've got constant loops of communication that go through. So everybody's in the know. Everybody's in the picture of what's going on. Yeah.
Anything else?
We deliver fantastic services, OT services, to the families. We think outside the box. A lot of sensory profiling.
What box?
There is no box.
Mythical creature.
Sensory profiling and sensory programs, absolutely. Our skill sets, we work with a lot of children and teens on the spectrum. We work well in collaboration with other health professions within the local area. So very team-based, very much so.
Yeah.
Get better results for an individual if you're team-based. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How would you describe the culture of your team, the culture of your organization?
The culture. How would I describe it? We're very comfortable. Is that a way of describing it?
Yeah.
We all get along. We're just very comfortable in our own space. There's a huge importance on being independent in what we're doing and being given the provision for us to do what we need to do independently. Mm-hmm. But yet when we need somebody to help us or support us, we're either an email, a phone call, a text message, or we're in the next room. So I think, I think that's how I would describe the culture. I mean, look, it's fun. I can't say that. What's the word? I'm trying to think of the word now. We're very comfortable.
Connected.
Yeah.
Connected.
Connected is a good word. Yeah.
We'll take
very connected. Connected. Close yeah. connected. Yes. Yeah. yeah. Highly yeah. supportive. Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good to hear. So we've sort of hinted that your team has really kind of grown in the last 12 months.
That means
you have to change and you have to kind of ramp up the leadership skills. What's that experience been like?
Oh, that's challenging. When I say that's challenging, that's me trying to get out of my clinical head and into my business and leadership.
Here we go. People are driving, pull over your car.
Walk us through that because
clinical head to business head to leadership head to CEO thinking. Mm-hmm. Where's it traveling?
My biggest focus this year has been to try and delineate between what is what and how I'm going to deliver each. So when I am in clinical space, I'm literally one-on-one with my clients, or I'm talking to Chloe about, you know, we're kind of shuffling between rooms and just all very much, you know, a session basis. But when it comes to business, I literally have to kind of remove myself. And I physically do that. I actually walk outside and go, right, I'll take a 20-minute break. That's a big thing, actually, is...
the transition into business mode.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I have to, personally, that's myself. Because if I stay in the office, I've just had, you know, five people, and then all of a sudden it's like, right, now I need to go into business planning mode or business mode and start working on things. I've still got all the emails and everything open. I have to shift physically myself. Leadership is another thing altogether. Like with supervision sessions, I've book them in. But once again, earlier in the year, I was trying to mix everything in to the weeks. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was difficult because the supervision session would actually turn into a clinical session. And so we've started doing online supervision sessions, and I'm finding, you know, if I send an agenda, then we can just get things sorted and we know what we're talking about, and then we've got an action plan, and then we go to the next, and then the next supervision session we retouch on what happened before. So yeah, it's a big juggle. It's a juggling act, definitely. Yeah. I'm trying to step away from that clinical 24/7.
Yeah, you're doing great with it. So if we think about your leadership learnings, what would you like to be mastering next?
My listening skills. I think I'm pretty good at listening. I think I can always be better at listening and looking for clues. Because sometimes things, you know, the things that are concrete, that are straight there right in front of you that need to be done or need to be supported within the team. But then something comes in that you kind of go, oh, I didn't see that coming. So it could be a personal challenge of somebody, or when something goes wrong in the clinic, which, you know, things aren't always roses.
Hunky-dory?
No, we actually have a little emoji card that says we're feeling hunky-dory. We put that up every now and then. But, yeah, so I think looking for the clues and listening more, listening to what people are feeling and thinking and needing. I think there's a lot to be said with looking for clues in our behaviour as individuals as well, and how we manage our environment or how we're working in it. Yeah.
And listening for what isn't being said.
Yes. That's where the clues come in. It's those little clues. Can I tell you, I learned how to look for clues in my very, very early years. I also worked for the Commonwealth Bank. And we have a lot of clues and things that we look for. So, you know, it's that I had a very short stint there. But, you know, looking for clues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much
nice.
So. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
How did you lead your team through COVID-19? How are you leading your team through COVID-19?
Yeah, I actually think that's probably one of my strengths. I'm a stickler for rules and regulation. So if I'm told that this is what we need to follow, then I'm like, okay, as long as it's correct. Yeah. I like processes. They make you feel comfortable. Processes, procedures, policies, those things, they let you know where you stand and what you need to do and what you should and shouldn't be doing. And we're in a situation at the moment where no one is certain of the outcome. So starters, developing processes and, you know, the policies, yeah, the procedures, yes, in accordance with what we have to do to stay safe and what the clinics have to do to keep up to date, those things were put in place very quickly, and then they were handed out to everyone. Everyone has had the training on that and they understand what is required. But also in the same instance, it is keeping everything calm and also running as normal within what we can provide, even though we've shifted to telehealth. The first round of telehealth, there was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of people were really, I don't know if I could do this. And we tried and we had some success and people got used to it. And so there's a comfort in knowing that something works. So that's how we've done it before. We can do it again. And I just kept saying that. And I've said that to all my clients. We've done it before. We can do it again. And we can do it better this time because we know what we're doing, roughly.
Yeah. That is the little secret Melbourne advantage that businesses and systems and telehealth is absolutely being strengthened. You're going to look for some positives on stage four.
Yeah.
The other thing that I noticed about you last week, Carly, Sunday night last week, stage four was announced by our premier, and everyone then sort of spent Monday just gazing at the clouds, really, and finding information. But by Tuesday, you had done it. You had found all the information, you'd processed it, you'd decided, you had it documented, you told your team. And within 48 hours, you were decisive and quick and responsive and got it done.
Yeah, absolutely. I need things to flow well. If they don't flow well, the knock-on effect is to the families that we work with. And they need to feel secure in some way, shape or form that they can rely on us to be able to deliver what needs to be delivered regardless of what the circumstances are. So, that's in the forefront of my mind, was that we just need to maintain consistency of application of what we were doing. So that was also a major driving factor, not to mention that, I think I was working on a very high amount of stress levels at the time.
I don't think you slept.
No.
You might have pulled an overnighter by my external observations.
I've never typed so fast. I think that was my comment. I think it was just, you get that flow of, they call it, stream of consciousness writing.
Stream of consciousness writing. Yeah.
That's I was doing in a very methodical way. As it was happening, I was typing it down. So
Actually, no, I want to ask you a question that's still in this current stage four place. How are clients managing?
How are the clients managing? Okay, so the clients are managing well in the sense that they know that we're there for them, okay? They know that no matter what, they can access us because we've made ourselves flexible in our delivery, which is I think that is the major key point in service provision. The families are overwhelmed. I mean, we know we're doing, like, homeschooling this time round is not as strict. It's not this.
Slapdash, perhaps?
Yeah, I think the kids are getting it done within an hour in the morning. I've got some kids are getting it done with the timetable before they've even gone on WebEx. It's like...
I saw a hilarious photo this morning on social media of the cat at the desk with all the books, watching the screen, and the comment was from the parent, student missing.
Look, the things that go on. Yes, sorry. Go.
So your customer care is superb. Where are customers sitting and how are you kind of supporting them through what will be the next few months?
Maintaining consistency in their appointments. We're not changing anything. We've just changed the delivery mode, basically. Yep. I've actually, with some of the children that we know full well struggle to sit for more than five minutes, we've actually shortened their sessions. And, you know, we've taken 1 hour session delivery and divided it into two visits a week, into two half-hour lots. You know, there's a five-minute lead-in, hi, how you going, those sorts of things. There's a five-minute lead-out and then there's 20 minutes in between where you get stuff done. So we're aiming to look for it to be successful and positive, so less stress on the family involved, less stress on the child, and then they're more likely willing to come back and do it again because they had a good time. We've also shifted, we started with this idea of shifting the parents and the children's thoughts and the individual's thoughts, because we also work with adults on, you know, we've got five, 6 weeks in lockdown. What's a new skill we can learn in this time? What do you want to learn? And that's what we've been doing. And we've got everything from making sandwiches to putting hair up to we had a boy sink a Titanic in the bath the other day, you know, so I build a model toy, like those sorts of things, will be able to make my own bed, cooking, those sorts of things can be done. So that's, I think I might have gone on a bit of a tangent there, Kathy, but, you know.
love a tangent, love an occupational therapy tangent, where it's all about getting things done in the context of where they're done and in the time. The temporal place of where they're done. It's kind of a little bit of quiet secret, I think, OT heaven.
Yeah, we enjoy it. We enjoy accomplishing things and we enjoy seeing a successful outcome at the end. And if there isn't a successful outcome, we find something in that to be a successful outcome.
To light it up.
You know?
Well, I know that you've had moments to kind of dream. What do you want? Just to be able to leave the house as like short-term Thursday life goals.
Yeah.
Go skiing, go traveling. Yeah. What do you imagine your growing business will look like in 12 months' time?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me this question. These things change. This changes for me like the wind. Okay, no, in the next 12 months, need a bigger space, need a much bigger space.
Need a bigger space.
Absolutely. Because, look, our room management is good. We do a lot of shuffling, but it's just it's growing so quickly that I need more room to do what we want to do in the session. So that space needs to be able to accommodate more OTs. It needs to be able to accommodate the physical conditioning too that happens. You know, we don't just work cognitively, we work physically as well with children. And a lot of the sensory integration type of therapies are, they need space. So, yeah, we need more space.
Bigger rooms? What else?
Yes, what else? Maybe... I still want to work clinically, but I think the time management, the delegation of who does what is going to be a big focus. I'm just trying to think what else.
Bigger team?
Yeah.
Did I hear the word recruit? Did I hear the word
recruitment? I should use the word recruitment. Yes. We were going to take a student on. The 1st or the 7th of September, but we're in stage 4, so I've kind of just put a hold on that for a minute until we can be back face-to-face. But, you know, helping those that are also studying OT, giving opportunity and accessibility to students to be able to be engaged in a practice that has so many different elements to it. I'd like to be able to do that as well successfully and have the room and space to do that. Yeah.
What else is in the dream catcher for 2021?
2021. Gosh, are we nearly there? I think we're nearly there.
Who knows?
I heard someone say, we're making, I saw our cafe, our local cafe was making hot cross buns. And they said, is it Easter? Who knows? They said it might be Easter.
Does it matter? Do we need a reason?
No, it doesn't.
We've lost all sense of time.
We don't.
What else? Yeah, go on. What else is in the dream catcher?
I want to be able to possibly, no, I definitely want to be able to have specific times of the week to be able to allocate to the team members. I'm juggling that at the moment, but there's myself and Chloe. We are the two OTs that are working, and look, that works well. But, you know, as people are onboarded, then that allows me time to really hone in and focus on their development, because that's really important, that their development and their aspirations, goals are also met, because that can actually get lost in everything that we're doing if we're just face-to-face, clinically facing all the time. I need to be able to have that helicopter view and see what's going on and to be able to help provide. That's my leadership skills building, that's the team skills, you know. Belinda is, you know, working towards practice management, other receptions. So, you know, get a little bit more going on in the business layout as such, or the team.
It's that piece about becoming more team facing.
Yes.
And those are millimeter shifts, one client at a time. To other very capable and loving therapists in the business, so that you can coach the team, and then the team just beautifully comfortable and confident and capable to serve the clients.
It's kind of that juggle, an hour at a time,
redefining your role.
Absolutely. And I've said this from the beginning, I want everyone to feel comfortable with everyone. See, if one of us is not well or somebody is unable to come in, then the families need to feel secure, or the individuals need to feel confident that that's okay, there is someone else who can step in for a little bit, because, you know, life happens, things happen, and that's a reality, and we just have to be able to manage that. And at the end of the day, it's people come for occupational therapy for support to get on with their life and do what they need to do. And, yeah, I mean, as much as that client relationship with their therapist, it's a beautiful thing. That's what keeps us going to work, I think, sometimes, because we have these really great relationships that we build. But if we're not there, we need to be able to provide that support otherwise.
It's a really interesting business model that when a family engages with a business, they don't just get a therapist.
No.
They get the whole team. They get a therapist and they get Belinda and they get another OT and they get a psychologist and an art therapist and a dietitian, and it's a whole care team. I'm hearing this from a few different ways, that it's just respectfully challenging the dependency model of my client, my therapist. So
Yeah, and I suppose it's a bit like when children go to school, they deliberately shuffle the years and give them a different teacher every year. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for the children being shuffled in their classrooms. It's so they can actually learn how to transition and how to transition well and feel confident in doing that. So you want to do it in a safe environment, and that's our key thing, is the environment also needs to be one that everyone is wanting to come to. That's the focus.
Oh, so exciting. So exciting. How are you kind of embracing business ownership and the numbers and the tasks and the decisions and the cries for help? How's that kind of progressing?
Oh, I have my ups and downs with the whole business ownership thing. I think I think we all do. Look, realistically, anyone who owns a business is going to go, yep, I love it one day, the next
bomb.
Day.
Drop the truth bomb. Yep.
Yeah. If someone says it's all peachy 24/7, nope. No, look, it's managing the business. It's being a business owner, you need to be comfortable with all the elements of how a business runs. That includes everything from finances, from the good, the bad, the ugly, the you know, being comfortable with debt if there's debt, being comfortable with growth if there's growth. Those things I actually found quite surprising. That when, you know, when you're a therapist, I don't think you get get that business training. It doesn't happen. You kind of sink or swim when you go in. So I'm learning and I'm becoming more comfortable with understanding all of the elements of what a business requires, and that keeps bringing me back to the reason why I'm running the business. Because to be honest, I mean, I could just go and be a therapist and do my work one-on-one and make an income. I could go and get a job. I could do that too. But the reason that I wanted to put occupational therapy into the community is to make it more accessible, because it's not as easily accessible. There really isn't a lot of OTs in private practice. And, so being comfortable with the fact of the why I'm running the business helps me be more comfortable with all of the other things that I'm not so good at. This is why you have you have your finance teams, you have your business teams, you have your clinical teams. You've got to be able to have a good idea of what's going on. And I need to learn how to use spreadsheets better. I'm pretty poor at that. Just throw that in. I know. Spreadsheets, you know, they're meant to, I keep trying to do those things, but, you know.
Sometimes back of an envelope is differently effective.
Yep. Writing things down. No, I've got better at putting everything in.
But are you enjoying the business ownership more?
Yeah. I'm enjoying it much more now that I have, systems in place. The more systems you have in place, the easier it is for you to manage it, because then, you know, I can collect data. And I can print out things and I can follow what's happening every month. And I can see where the downturns, the upturns are. I can absolutely. And then we can also see what's missing and what needs to be improved. So it's all there in the data that prints up from your systems, your practice management systems. They help a heap. It has made it a lot more enjoyable for me. Because I used to do all of that manually.
Yeah.
I used to sit there and do, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4 and then the dash across for the 5 to say that was a while ago. But, you know, I used to do it that way. Yeah.
Oh, I think we all did. I think we all did. All righty. Well, I'll give you the talking stick for the last time. You can either ask me a question or you can just deliver some more gold. Business owners out there, how would you like to wrap this chatty chat up?
How would I like to wrap it up? I think You know what? I know a lot of OTs that are working out in private practice at the moment. And at the moment, at this time of the year with COVID and everything, it is hard. We are actually probably not looking after ourselves as best we can. And we're governed by all of these restrictions. You know, there's people that we can't get out to see that we would normally see with home visits that are actually missing therapy because they actually don't know how to use technology, those sorts of things. So I think it's important that we just remain connected with everybody, regardless of whether or not they can have an appointment, making a phone call. We're continuing on and planning for term four. You know, the groups are planned for term four. We haven't cancelled them out. We've only cancelled what needs to be cancelled that's right in front of us. But we are continuing to think forward and look forward and let the families know that, okay, so, you know, we have our Lego Creations Club that happens. That one there, that's still running in term four, unless we get told otherwise. Sorry?
Holding the future for them, holding the future for your team and clients.
Absolutely. So what's happening now doesn't mean that the plan for the months ahead isn't going to happen. And, look, yeah, we're planning for the first. We do everything in terms generally, only because a good portion of our clients are children and teens and are at school. So it helps us help them look at the future and have something to look forward to, which is very important.
I'd love to reiterate what you said at the very start of that bit was about self-care as well.
Yes.
And that we both know that the business will only be as good as you are. And I guess if you're listening and you're starting to sink, put your hand up and kind of get some support and get some help, whether it's business or personal or whatever.
Yeah, that's a big learning curve for me over the last few months and also with my team because, you know, people need mental health days to take off. I mean, they may look like they're ploughing through and doing, but they've also got families. The team members have families and they've got other obligations. And so we've made it an open space for us to be able to talk within the clinic, within our team, to allow each other to be able to go, you know what? If you need to work from home, you can work from home and make that available to them in this space because, it is challenging. And a lot of the time people, when they're working for someone else, they just keep going to work and just keep doing what they have to do because it's part of their employment position.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't know how to ask. So I think it's like my role to ask those questions. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Permission to rest.
Correct.
Permission to rest.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm so glad we got this bit of a story captured and shared.
Yeah.
So glad you checked in.
Thanks. It's an interesting way of putting information across. I haven't done that before. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Thank you for sharing your story. Have a good one.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network.